Are you in contact with Rodgers? Anything like that,
Coach?
The Rich Eisen Show. Show.
I reached out to him. You never want to see that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's it going to be like when you see Devontae Adams?
Oh, man, that's a tough one for me. It's always hard when you see a guy of that caliber go to another team.
Today's guests, Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, actor and comedian David Spade, plus latest news and more. And now. Now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. That is correct. Hey, everybody. I'm Rich Eisen, thus the name of the show. And I am sitting here in the confines of the Rich Eisen Show studio for the next 3 hours. And we have got ourselves two in-studio guests. Bruce Feldman right in the middle of this program to talk about college football, as he always does on our Wednesday show. David Spade is going to be joining us here, the star and host of the new Fox program, Snake Oil, that airs tonight. He will be here in studio hour number three. And you know what? It's kind of great that he's on this program, because I did just say goodbye to my three kids for my London trip. I'm after today's show flying, as they say, across the pond to call Jaguars and Bills on NFL Network with Kurt Warner, guest of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Get that, we're all... Your podcasts are acquired. Going to be calling that game on NFL Network on Sunday. Said goodbye to my daughter and my two sons, my three kids. And so I miss them already. So it's good that my my third son, as Chris Brockman likes to call him, Baker Mayfield, is zooming in about 18 minutes' time. So it's great. It's a family affair.
That's what I mean.
Here.
I love it.
Does he know that but I don't want to age myself up. I don't think I'm that old that he could be my son. You know,
how old do you think Baker Mayfield is?
Baker Mayfield has got to be what, 27, 28 years old?
Yeah. You could be his father.
Oh, my God. If I had children in an earlier age, is what you're saying.
He's 28.
Okay. At any rate, he's on the program. I can't even conceive that concept. But at any rate, he's 3-1. And Baker Mayfield's joining us. How are you over there, Chris Brodman? What's going on?
I'm great. I got some tangerines and...
DJ Mikey D, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, candle is lit. Is it lit, sir?
It wasn't lost on me that you used the word conceive when talking about whether you could have a child or not.
Nice.
That was,
look at you.
I like your style.
I didn't even catch that.
I like your
style.
Okay. And you'd have been 26, so it's very possible.
Thank you very much.
My dad was 25 when I was born.
Okay, enough.
Okay.
So it can really be written.
I know a 17-year-old once.
Enough. So. All right, so I'm 54.
Just saying. You know what I mean?
All right. Let's talk about week four being done, and it's week five.
Turn a page.
You know, we hit the quarter post point. Again, that 17th game just ruined the easy math.
It ruined a lot of
things. It ruined the easy math, you know. But I think we can kind of tell which teams need help, which teams need to play better, which teams are playing well, which teams are playing great, and which teams are exceeding expectations. We could see that right now. And we enter this portion of the calendar with three undefeated teams no longer. No undefeated teams in the AFC after the Bills took care of the Dolphins. And then in the NFC, you've got two undefeated teams in San Francisco and Philadelphia, the two teams that faced one another in the NFC Championship game last year, looking like they're on a path to do the same again, just again, one quarter plus down the road, or one quarter minus down the road of the regular season being done. Eagles and 49ers. And, you know, we went off the air yesterday talking about how when a caller called in saying that, you know, Purdy would have beaten the Eagles had he not gotten hurt. And I'm like, well, that's why they call players like Haason Reddick game wreckers, because he wrecked the game. And the interesting thing is that they play one another, fascinatingly enough. Week 13, a game that's been circled on the calendar by Debo Samuel with his comments back in the spring. And then in the summer, Haason Reddick admitted he's doing the same when Debo comes back in with the rest of the 49ers. So 49ers and Eagles. So why would Jerry Jones be piping in saying that the 49ers' path to the playoffs goes through him and the Dallas Cowboys, or intimating anything of that nature? Because he's Jerry Jones, and he can. And he has a local radio hit and platform in which to say such things as he did this week.
They are right now probably the most likely team to go in the Super Bowl. And but in order for them to get there, they've got to go by us, hopefully two times, if that's where it falls in the playoffs. And we're in the playoffs, of course. But the bottom line is that you're playing the best. This is a certainly you don't need the game to tell you that you're playing the best, but you need the game to show you how you stack up against the best.
So here's what I got to say about that is he's right in the way that they've got to go through him this Sunday. And that he's right that it's likely they're going to play each other in the playoffs once again. And it would be, as the kids say, totally lit if it is in the NFC Championship game like it was back in the day when the current coach of Colorado was marking my friend from NFL Game Day Morning, Michael Irvin. That's what we're talking about. But we need to see something out of Dallas that we saw against the Giants and we saw against the Jets and we saw against New England, against an opponent like the San Francisco 49ers and my guy, Brock Purdy.
Oh, your guy?
He is that.
Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've been table pounding for this kid for a couple weeks in a row now.
He might be your fourth son.
He could be. But don't talk about that way. Baker might be listening. He might get jealous.
I
don't play favorites.
Okay,
I'm not ranking my children like Dion.
Look, we just give us 2 through 5, okay?
So I need to see that. That's what this week is truly all about. Can Dak come out and play as flawless a game as Brock Purdy's been playing? Because that's the type of game that Dallas needs from Dak. I don't need to see 35 passes, 400 yards. Don't need to see it. And you have to sit here and wonder, is the Dak that we saw early on in his career, where he would throw and he would run and he'd give you 2 touches in the air and he'd give you one on the ground, if that guy is there anymore? And if that's the guy that Mike McCarthy schemes to be there? And I don't know. We're sitting here 4 weeks into this season saying, all right, you give this Dallas defense a quarterback named Jones or Zach Wilson, and they're gonna kill him. They're going to cut him up and make mincemeat out of him. Now here comes Brock Purdy. Absolutely the best quarterback they've faced through the first 4 weeks of the season, hands down. Hands down. And then you look at the rest of their schedule. Dallas is taking on Justin Herbert and the Chargers next, and then Matthew Stafford, and then Jalen Hurts before they face Daniel Jones and a rookie in Bryce Young again, and then they get Sam Howell for the first time, and then Geno Smith before it's Hurts again, then Josh Allen, then Tua Tagovailoa, then Jared Goff before it's Sam Howell again. And this is the first time they are facing a real live bona fide assassin at the quarterback position. I am talking about Brock Purdy that way.
Is this assassin?
It's what he is. It's what he is. And we just, everybody can't believe it. Can't believe it. And it's the first time, again, that Purdy's going to be going into a game where it's expected of him against an opponent like Dallas. That's my opinion. That might be 49er fans' opinion, but everybody continues to take a look at this kid's performances like it's house money. And he's playing like he's the house. Dealing. Making sure he's got, you know, flipping over that hole card with the 6 and it's a 5 and then here comes the 10. That's the way he's playing. Nobody expects him to hit 21 with the hand he's been dealt personally. Everything else around him, that's the hand that everyone feels is being dealt. So it is on Dak to not come out and go 350 and run one in. That would be nice if he does it. It would be beyond unexpected because of the defense he's playing against. It's 20 to 21. It's the line that Purdy just had against an Arizona team that Dak didn't have against the same Arizona team. Understand, one was home, one was on the road. Common opponent. One staved off a game Arizona team. Another one got punched in the mouth by one. Again, just 4 weeks in. And I think the Dak that's showing up is a Dak that's ready for this challenge. Salty Dak. There's a new segment on the Rich Eisen show. We kind of missed this. We didn't discuss this on Monday.
No, we didn't.
Or Tuesday. We missed it. But as soon as the Cowboys were done eviscerating New England and Dak took care of business against the Belichick defense that many of his haters thought would confuse him and confound him and expose him, he stepped to the podium and was asked about last year's loss to the 49ers.
Dak, what was the feeling leaving that locker room last January against those guys?
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we're so far past that, to be honest with you, but that's obvious. I mean, you just want to piss me off going in this week, and I appreciate that. I do, actually. I do. Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Lost drive, you guys.
I mean, every day. Every day. Every day, Tyne, every day.
28 to 34, one touch. That's what Dak did against New England. Efficient. No interceptions. He's got 124 yards on the ground. That's what they did. That's what they need to do. And then let Micah Parsons handle the rest.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. That's the Dallas formula going into this game. Run it. Stop McCaffrey on the way to Purdy. And then shut mouths like mine up saying that Purdy is him.
An assassin.
He is.
Well, if he's an assassin, then Mike is going to be Jack Ruby, I think.
Okay.
We're going to take him out.
Nice Metroplex reference from the early 60s. Hashtag too soon.
I love the 49ers and everything they do.
I don't know what you mean.
You got beat down enough?
And Brock Purdy is great. I love him.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what your point is.
Well,
right,
Rich,
here.
He's been Twitter. Niners fans on Twitter haven't been kind to Chris in the last 48 or so hours.
What's going on?
This goes back to yesterday.
Which is what?
Just that they're super sensitive as a fan base. So I'm saying I'm being positive.
But what have you said that they're being sensitive
great.
About? No,
oh,
seriously.
Just pointing out facts. I'm
like, what?
Great.
What are the facts? Go for it. What are the facts?
I mean, just Jared McCoy said. He literally he has all pros and pro bowlers and superstars at every position.
Right.
Let's just see a full season first.
Okay.
But he's great. I love him. The 49ers are super wonderful.
You know what? It's people can sometimes just not win for losing. You know what? It's just like he is the one who has been taking care of business because he's surrounded by so many pro bowlers and so many terrific players. And he's performing in a way that Trey Lance couldn't and performing in a way that Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do consistently enough to still be in San Francisco, where I bet you deep down dollars to donuts he'd want to stay. It wasn't just him being injured. It was him clearly not running things to the way that Shanahan wanted it or liked to do it.
Well, that's different than being unable to do it.
I said that couldn't do it. He couldn't run it the way that Purdy's running it. Couldn't. That's a fact.
He got them to the Super Bowl.
He did. And
so
then,
what do you mean? What's the difference?
And then
Purdy hasn't done
and
that.
And then suddenly the next year, it's like, who else can we have? There's a reason.
They just didn't like him.
Exactly. They like Purdy better because
right. Well, Purdy taking them to the Super Bowl? Did I miss that last year?
Okay. This is so much fun. He's playing in a way that he can do it. Will he do it? Don't know.
Purdy suffered
anything
the same fate that Jimmy G had. He got injured.
Anything can happen. Understood. I'm with you.
I love him. He's great.
I love it too. Speaking of which, let's talk Baker Mayfield because he's about to join us. The 3-1 quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is joining us on Zoom next on his bye week, getting ready, I believe. I think he's going to the Texas-Oklahoma game. I think he is, in fact, doing that. So
they're on a bye week this week.
I think he is going to do it because he's coming on a bit, not just because he said yes and we asked and he's up for joining. I think he wants to talk about the game because he and Vince Young are doing something together.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
How about that?
I love it.
All right. So it'd be sort of like, you know, you and the 49ers fans doing something together.
I'm in.
An unexpected reunion of two people. All right. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Baker Mayfield on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show coming up. Back here on the show, Jason Light, general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, talking to our buddy Peter Schrager, I believe on his pod, about Baker Mayfield taking his lineman to the Bahamas. Check it out.
Oh, he was targeting us. I mean, maybe more than we were targeting him. We told him from the beginning that this is going to be you're going to be in a competition here because we really like Kyle Trask. And he didn't, you know, as you know, Baker, he didn't flinch. He accepted that and, you know, he just ran with it. But he is such even as I go around town, people are like, what's Baker like? Is he a good guy? It's like, I don't know where this started, that he wasn't a good guy. And, I mean, I think you can point to a few things that maybe people got the wrong impression of him. But he's a freaking awesome dude. He is a dude. And the players saw it right away. I mean, whether he's taken the lineman to the Bahamas, on our break during camp before the first, after final cuts, to go golf. Or he's spotted around town at dive bars with a different group of position group, with receivers, with Mike Evans, with Godwin, with these guys. He really knows. He's not doing it. It's not fake. He really knows how to be a dude with the team, and they love him.
All right. Nice little setup right there. Okay. It's Jason Light on Peter Schrager's pod. Dive bars around town, huh? With Mike Evans?
That sounds fun.
Wouldn't you want to go?
I mean, that sounds like a great time.
When was the last time you were at a dive bar?
I mean, when was Cage born?
Okay. That's what happens, right?
Yeah, that's what happens. Maybe in Kansas City for my fantasy draft this year, actually. That was fun.
Very good. Well, at any rate, Baker Mayfield's about to join us once the radio audience returns via Zoom. And that's about to happen literally right now. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk with our Roku channel stream. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. We just heard Jason Light on Peter Schrager's podcast saying that Baker's just become one with the team right off the bat. Dive bars with Mike Evans, he said. The Bahamas took, by the way, love you guys. We're not going to the Bahamas.
Why?
But just not.
Why?
Just not.
That's not really an answer.
No, I just, it's too long.
What's too long?
Do you know what the flight from Tampa to the Bahamas is? It's real easy. Well, you want to go to Catalina? That's where Mike Tuttle-Twofoot takes his first dates, right?
I'm actually going this weekend.
You taking a first date?
No.
Okay.
About 30th date.
Whoa.
Oh.
30th date.
Yeah. Okay.
What is going on here? We talk about our lives all the time, and now we got to find this out?
Quiet.
Well, you and I talk about our lives.
Oh, okay.
These two guys are like super about everything.
Hermits.
Keep it like all this, right. TJ.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of my favorites. He's 3-1. He's on his bye week. He's got a big college rivalry game coming up this week, and he's Baker Mayfield. How are you, Baker?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rich?
How'd you wake up today, Baker? How did you wake up today?
Just real relaxed. No dangerous feeling yet.
No. That's a bye week deal? That's a bye week
deal?
That's
a bye week deal. Take the fellas to the Bahamas. What are you doing?
Thank you, Baker.
That's my G right
We're not
there.
All Baker Mayfield.
Jeez.
Okay?
It's my guy.
Let's go.
Wait a minute. You did wake up dangerous. How dare you lob it into this studio like that? My
just
gosh.
Just a little feisty. That's it.
So did you tell me about that? Because Jason Light dropped that knowledge that you took your lineman to the Bahamas. Is that what you did? What'd you do?
We had three out of the five guys. We had Tristan Wirfs, Luke Gadecki, and Robert Hainsey. We all went down that Labor Day weekend. We got our the three-day break we get with the three preseason games now. So we went down there and enjoyed some great weather, the water, and just had a good time.
Okay. And the chemistry building is obviously something that you take seriously as a quarterback, as somebody of your nature. He's mentioned that you've been spotted around town in dive bars with Mike Evans. Is that true too, Baker? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple local watering holes that we frequent, mostly alignment. But yeah,
okay.
Got to get the guys out. You know, you fight hard for each other. You got to enjoy the downtime together, and it's a great group of guys. So it's not like it's forcing anything. It's just good friendship, and I love those guys.
I love it too. I love hearing that because, you know, he also, one last thing that he mentioned I want to hit off you, is he said that you kind of targeted them a little bit more than maybe they were targeting you in the non-playing season when you were maybe looking for your next spot that you clearly have found. Is that a true story, Baker? Would you say that?
It is. I mean, it's a little bit both ways, but I mean, it just, when I was looking at it, obviously the first time getting to pick where I was going to play, just organizationally wise, top down, they run a tight ship. They do it well. They've had a lot of success. And so, you know, coming from some of the places I've been, it was a pretty easy choice. And it's been great so far. And just, you know, ever since walked into the doors in April, it's been so much fun. I mean, everybody's on the same page. It's all about winning. There's no extra BS. It's just a great group all around.
Yeah, and then now the 3-1 start. What has leapt out at you over the first month of the season, Baker?
To be honest, I mean, we knew what our expectations were, but I just think we have a group that we have a fighting team. Like we're scrappy. We're never gonna back down from a fight. I mean, it's just, it's a group that they're willing to do anything to win. I'll say that, you know, obviously we didn't play well against the Eagles. We all knew that, but then we had another physical matchup with division rival the Saints coming up the next week. And so just the way everybody handled their business, they were responsible, accountable for how we played the Monday night game, and we bounced back in a big way. And so it's a resilient team. I'll say that.
At any point, did you reach out to your Super Bowl ad friend, Tom Brady, for 2 cents on your current scene, Baker?
I did not. No, I'm letting him enjoy retirement.
Okay. I just figured, you know, hey, what's going on around here? Nothing like that? Zero?
No, zero nothing. Content? Just handling it the best way I can. And, yeah, just we're all in it together. So keeping it within the building.
I got to tell you, I mean, nobody ever wants to be the guy after the guy. And then the guy with 7 Super Bowl rings, Baker. Did that ever hit you? Did that ever hit your mindset at all about this?
Not really. I mean, Rich, you know me well enough. I'm going to do it, you know, the best way I can. And, you know, he's the greatest to ever do it. There's no doubt about that. But we do it 2 completely different ways, 2 different versions. And, yeah, I think for me, it's just getting back to the positive, enjoying football, enjoying the game, and loving my teammates. And that's the way I play my best. And, yeah, so we're in a good place now, and I'm enjoying it.
Baker Mayfield here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who are the folks in your world that keep the external out, and you live in the internal, and you're able to just be you and live life and focus on, you know, winning football games, Baker? Who are those people?
I mean, I would not be able to survive without my wife. Love her to death. She's a soldier. She's a trooper. She's been through the ups and downs with me. Stood by my side the whole way. And love her for that. And but just it's she makes life easy. But then also when I mean I'm best friends with all my buddies that I grew up with. They know how to keep me humble. they'll point out the bad plays. They'll bring me back down to earth when I need it.
Really? Like what? What are they doing? What are they doing? Your friends?
They always poke fun at how I sometimes get tackled in a very dramatic way. that I'm not the fastest guy, but I will take you in a 40-yard dash, though, Rich.
Yes, Baker. You know what? I wake up dangerous on the days I lace it up. Or wait a minute, the day I lace it up. Be careful. Be careful.
You ever thought about doing some training prior to that, or what?
Baker, let's not get started.
Oh my gosh.
Let's not get started.
Yes, the most important person in my life, my wife, is lockstep with you. The number of times she's like, why don't you train? And I'm like, because it's me, you know what I mean? Like, that's I don't know, you know? But what if I just, like, dropped 15 and just trained for it and went out and broke 5 seconds and just mic dropped? What do you think, Baker? You think I could do that?
I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'll start supporting. We'll bring in a nutritionist. We'll get the training going. We'll cut weight.
Okay. We'll do that.
I'm here for it.
Okay, Baker. Yeah. I'm going to hold you to that. You're the perfect person to ask this question to. Number one overall pick in the NFL draft on your third team right now. And I look at someone like Jared Goff too, right? Former number one overall pick in the draft, now on his second team. And when you go from the team that drafted you to another team, essentially you're no longer that same person in the mind's eye of so many different people. Like, how difficult is it to play quarterback in this league? And what do you say to those who kind of throw to the side top draft choice quarterbacks just because it may not happen in their first spot that quickly, Baker?
Yeah, I mean, playing quarterbacks, it's a ton of responsibility. There's a lot that is involved with it between, I mean, obviously the physical aspect of it, you have to play well, but it's, you're really like the CEO of a company. You're responsible for mending the relationships, keeping those, and making sure everybody's on the same page. But, you know, the thing about it that I always say to people is when you're picked that high, they have a high pick for a reason. Unless a team, you know, picked it, acquired from a trade or something like that, you're going to a team that hasn't had a lot of success. And so there's when it comes down to playing quarterback, like I said, there's so much more that goes into it. But I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. And, you know, much like Jared's situation, I think, you know, we're better off from the lessons we learned and the things that we've gone through, all the ups and downs. You can't look at it in a negative mindset. You have to be able to take positives away from it and learn from those mistakes that we've made. And that's why I'm able to have success now and have a clean mind about it, is because there's so many things that I learned and did wrong when I was younger. But, you know, I wouldn't change it because I had to learn and grow from it.
So what is the lesson you learned of the greatest importance, do you think, Baker?
Being the same guy in the building every day. You know, we work too hard throughout the week preparing and getting ready for the game to let it affect the result. Win or lose, we know that we left our best stuff out there. We tried our best, and there's 17 games, and so you gotta bounce back and work for the next one. So good, bad play, it's on to the next one. That's the mindset you got to have.
Why? Because you would just let stuff linger, losses linger?
And let it affect relationships, let it affect personal life, things like that. And just you can't let the negativity seep into your life, because you can't have success on the field if you do that.
So when did you learn that? When did you decide, okay, you took stock and you're like page turn on that? When did that happen specifically in your career, do you think?
Last year, to be honest with you, you know, obviously when Cleveland was moving on, there was a time period where I was just kind of in limbo, knowing I wasn't going to play for them, not knowing where I was going to get picked up at. But just, and then in Carolina, you know, when I wasn't playing, just being the best teammate I could for, whether it was PJ Walker or Sam Darnold playing, being a guy in that locker room that has a lot of experience, had been through the ups and downs, to be able to be a constant person and support piece in that locker room. And so it was a different perspective for me, but there were valuable lessons and things that I'll cherish forever, and I'll be better for it.
Baker Mayfield, quarterback of the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a bye week. Few minutes left with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Red River Showdown, sir. You and Vince Young are doing something together? What do you got? What's happening here?
I'm not going to talk about Vince.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the guy, but not this week. It's horns down forever. This couldn't have happened at a better time, though. Talk about it. We're 3-1. Bye week's happening. I'm going to the game as a spectator.
You are.
I mean, it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to
it. Are you tailgating and everything? You're going to do the whole thing? What are you doing?
I'm going to bury about 3 funnel cakes at the State Fair.
Doesn't beat a funnel cake.
Those, I can only imagine how great the funnel cakes are at the State Fair,
Baker. It's going to be great. And tomorrow I'm working at a Cane's in Dallas, mm-hmm. handing out some food at the drive-thru. And you know I'm going to give my best effort for that, too.
Yeah. Two lucky customers getting some football-themed swag for others in line. Okay. So you're going to do that one at Raising Cane's, giving away football?
Raising Cane's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. And so,
hand out some food, maybe get lucky enough and walk away with a Caniac combo. We'll see.
Okay. So Oklahoma is going to be doing what this weekend? What do you got for me on that front?
It's a good matchup. I like our chances. I like where we're at defense wise. I mean, Venables last year didn't have, you know, the roster wise, you know, coming in, lost a lot of guys, transfer portal. I mean, that whole world is crazy. Won't even get into that. But offense is rolling. I think we can score on anybody. But this is a tough matchup for us. Texas has the O-linemen and D-linemen that they've been missing for a long time. So it's going to be back to that physical matchup. This rivalry should be about.
You know, the words Texas is back, you hear it all the time, right? You hear it year after year. But this time, Baker, I'm hearing it more than ever. Look at you laughing. But this is it, right? I mean, of all the times for Oklahoma to win, this is when everybody really feels Texas is back right now, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they'll feel that. But to be honest with you,
yes.
It's fantastic that I'll have more Big 12 championships than they ever did.
I love it. And you said again, you woke up relaxed. Get the hell out of here with that. Come on.
With a clear mind, clear fighting mind today.
Like it. And again, I don't know how attuned you are to everything going on in college football, but would Caleb Williams get your vote right now for a back-to-back Heisman, Baker Mayfield?
Kid's a stud. He definitely would. I mean, he's unbelievable. The things that he can do, it's amazing to see. And that being somebody that's played in Lincoln's offense, to be able to see what Lincoln's able to do with him and the creativity, it's fun to watch. I mean, it's just a shame I'm on the East Coast, so all those games are a little bit later.
Right. You know, and the words Patrick and Mahomes keep getting thrown around. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of joined that chorus this week after watching. I watched him for the first time against Deion in Colorado because, you know, obviously I love Deion and known him for so long. So I'm totally locked in on that. First time I watched quarter one to quarter last this year of Caleb Williams. And I got to tell you, there were moments where he looked just like Mahomes, Baker. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's the throwing off the platform. I completely agree. Being able to throw from every possible angle, he can turn nothing into something. And that's an elite trait that he has. And he's just gifted in that way. So, I mean, he's and I met him for the first time in person when we did the Heisman House commercials.
Yes.
And he's a lot bigger than I thought, too. So, I mean, he's just a physical specimen, and he's able to do it. And you can tell the guys love being around him. He enjoys the game, too. So he's just fun to watch.
I love those commercials. What's it like shooting those, Baker?
It's so much fun. It really is. I mean, just a couple of days getting to be around the guys. I mean, it's such an elite fraternity. I mean, sometimes I have to, you know, take a step back and realize what a special group to be a part of. And so they're so much fun to film, and it's always good to be back with those guys.
Like hanging with Bo Jackson, right? I mean, is that what you're doing pretty much?
Yeah. We're doing that, trying to get Barry Sanders to say a couple words, maybe even a hello.
He doesn't do that, though. Don't worry. It's not you. It's nothing personal. That's just Barry, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't take it personal. The first year I might have, but Bo was giving him a hard time. So it's always entertaining.
So cool. All right, Baker, great connecting with you, man. You know this. I say this off the air. I'll tell it again. You look, this is when Michigan was losing to Ohio State all the time. When you planted that flag, you had me at hello. You totally had me at hello, man.
I love you, Rich.
Yeah, you're right. I feel the same exact way. Go ahead, Chris. Tell him. Go ahead, Chris. Tell him. It's okay.
Rich has two sons. I say you're his third son.
Stop
he
it.
Loves you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll take it. Now I'll just work on getting you guys to the Bahamas, and we'll have a
thank you. Know,
we'll all be on the same page.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
There is.
I'll settle for a dive bar with you and Mike Evans.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's no I in Baker. He's a team player for you guys. But there is two Eisen, Rich and Eisen, and he's mine. So back off. All right, Baker, take care of yourself, man. Be well.
Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Enjoy the rest of your bye week. It's Baker Mayfield getting ready to down 3 funnel cakes at the state fair.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds amazing.
Strikes me as he has the metabolism to handle such a thing.
The deep fried Twinkies. What else do they have?
Dude, I'm just saying. I'll go all in here. Look, what a story this would be. Okay. Now, I know I led the show with Dallas and in Philadelphia and San Francisco and, you know, the fourth team in, tapping in. Could be a guy who, you know, tapping in like it's WrestleMania because he kind of looks like it in Dan Campbell. Right?
True.
I think if everybody asked right now, the final four in the NFC are Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco, and Detroit.
I think so.
Right now? Like if you crystal balled it,
if you had to put your money on it.
Don't you think? I mean, if you asked generally anybody who's watching.
I think those are the four best teams.
Correct.
In the NFC, yeah.
But what if Baker Mayfield crashes the party and one of those four teams doesn't make it because he beats one of them in the first round of the playoffs? What if Baker's the sixth seed visiting Detroit? What if he's the 5 seed?
Why aren't they the 4 seed?
Why if they're the 4? Okay, what if they're the 4 seed and Detroit comes to them?
Right.
Or they wouldn't do that. Hold on a minute. Detroit would be the 3. How about this one?
Seattle would come to them.
Dallas would go to them. Just like last year.
Yeah.
Just like last year. And he wins and he's in the divisional playoffs. And takes the team further than Brady did in his last year. And what if he does what Brady did in his first year?
Well.
That's what I'm saying. Now, that's a tall, insanely tall order.
Yeah.
But crazier things have happened.
True.
Guy I sit next to in the booth on Sunday in Tottenham Stadium, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the one who was on a Zoom with Amy and Susie and What the Football. Crazier things have happened.
Buccaneers 70-1 for the Super Bowl.
I got it. But what if that, I mean, would that be one of the most amazing stories? Or just even go to the NFC Championship game? Become one of the final two. They have a ton of people who did it on that team.
Yep.
So fun. I like Baker smiling and relaxing and not being angry at me. He strikes me as that's the wrong guy to get on the wrong side of that guy right there. Right?
I feel like he holds a grudge.
And his friend's giving him grief for how he's tackled dramatically.
That's what
he was actually folded back at one point.
Didn't he?
He drew a personal foul, late hit penalty. One of the roughing the passer penalties that was like actually legit. He was like on his knees. His feet were pinned behind him. Yeah. And then the ball was gone and he got hit.
But didn't he also, wasn't he angry runs? Didn't he get the scepter a couple weeks ago?
I think week one he got the scepter.
Flag planting.
Pretty funny.
Stiff arming. Waking up dangerous Baker Mayfield. That's so great. Love it. Fun
and
stuff.
You can tell he had fun in this interview,
it's always fun when you're 3-1.
Oh, he's my new favorite player. He wants us to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, so that's,
Get
on it, Rich.
How about that? No, I'm waking up relaxed, not dangerous. I think you should take your guys to the Bahamas. That's dangerous.
I agree with him.
Well, not for him, it's not.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got David Spade in studio, hour 3. Bruce Feldman next hour. My power rankings also still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was your baseball game like?
My baseball game was pretty good, but I didn't play in high school. I played like recreational league in Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And I used to pitch.
Pitch?
Yeah.
As well.
Pitch and hit, yeah.
So what was your pitching game?
My pitching game was pretty good. I mean, I didn't, you know, I was a heavy ball. I didn't know, I had no idea how fast I was throwing. But people used to say, man, you got a heavy ball.
So when we're watching you swing in Major League as Pedro Serrano.
Yeah.
Is that your swing?
That's my swing. Oh, and I don't know if we ever talked about this, but every ball I hit out, mm-hmm. I hit out except it, not as far as they shot it out because they had to reverse the cameras.
Hold on a second, Dennis Haysbert. How many home runs did you hit?
I hit three in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think I hit three in the movie. I hit every one of them I hit out.
Okay. And all the batting practice?
I used to hit routinely.
So were you the best hitter of all the actors in
that
movie?
I would say so. So Charlie and I were the only guys that could really play baseball. Wesley was really athletic.
Okay.
And could run, but wasn't much of a hitter.
He couldn't hit, but could Charlie hit, or he was just...
Charlie could hit, and Charlie could pitch.
But you went yard more than anybody else in the cast of Major League.
Except for the baseball guys that were out there.
Actual. So who was the worst?
Oh, I can't. I won't say.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. That microphone works. Corbin Burnson, could he?
Corbin was okay. I think Tom Berenger was like maybe the worst.
No kidding.
Yeah. I love you, Tom. You know, he forced it out of me, man.
That's what I do for a living. I force things out of people. Fun stuff back in the day with Dennis Haysbert on The Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a second. Baseball playoffs underway. A quadruple header yesterday. Quadruple header. The Twins are like, wait a minute, we don't have to play the Yankees in the playoffs? And they're sold. Right? The Rays go down. And the Brewers go down.
In what world would you just be randomly watching a Diamondbacks Brewers game in the middle of the afternoon?
Not so much.
Only in October.
I was driving around, getting ready, you know, for the trip to London, and my phone buzzes, and it's Cooper, my 12-year-old. Sort of a red light is when I looked at my phone.
Of course.
Yeah. And he's living on the MLB app right now, living on it. And he texted me. This is when I realized things were not going well for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. He texted me this. Corbin Carroll hit a 444-foot home run off of Corbin Burnes, and it is definitely the first time a Corbin hit a home run off of another Corbin.
That's your son.
That's Cooper Evan Eisen. Yeah, my 12-year-old right there.
That's your son, yes.
I hearted it on the spot.
It was a 3-0 game at that point. That was a huge play.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And when I saw him later, I said, is that, like, did you hear that on the broadcast? And he goes, no. I'm like, so where did you get that from? He goes, it's got to be a fact, Dad.
It's got to be.
It's got to be. By the way, I don't know. Can we look that up?
I have no idea how we would look that up.
I immediately thought of, you know, I'm calling Bills and Jaguars. Entirely possible Josh Allen can get sacked by Josh Allen on Sunday. Both teams have a Josh Allen.
Right. That's happened before.
And I do believe when that happened, it was the first time in NFL history a quarterback was sacked by somebody by the same name. So, of course, you know, there is no one named Trevor Lawrence on the Buffalo Bills. So that,
let me just check the roster.
You don't have to. I'm locked in on my roster. But at any rate, so that's when I realized things were not going well for the Brewers, and the Diamondbacks are the ones most set up. What a roll of the dice. Was the pitching just not set up? Or they just decided we're just going to go with Zach Gallen in game
maybe
two.
Maybe Gallen pitched into the air. Let me check.
Because it's time to roll out your ace to just shut this thing down. You know, and the Diamondbacks could be sliding down the slide into the mug right there in Milwaukee and just two and dunning the Brewers. The Phillies got things done at home. Mm-hmm. You know, the Rangers, again, I obviously make things about myself. How about Jordan Montgomery being on the Rangers because the Yankees flipped him to St. Louis for a guy that they DFA'd. Like, this may have to be one of all the Cashman moves that didn't cash. This is one.
Well, Josh Donaldson's on the Brewers.
Dude, that's one. That's one thing.
I know.
But Jordan Montgomery blanking the Rays, which, by the way, doesn't appear to be too tough to do these days in the playoffs in October if you do make it. But again, just I'm sitting there going, you think Jordan Montgomery would look good in the Yankee Grays in Tampa? You know, when actually it's the Yankees who need to make the playoffs by beating the Rays? Wouldn't that be good? So that was a big one. And the Twins took care of business at home. And the O's and the, how about the friggin' Astros, man? They're like, they were out of the playoffs. Then they're on the periphery of the wild card.
Yep.
Then they're involved in the three-team race where they could wind up being not just, you know, barely making the wild card, but out. And they wind up winning their division and they're sitting at home.
All they do is win.
With the Dodgers and the Braves and the Orioles.
Yep. It's chilling.
So. We got Zach Wheeler, who's won 39 games the last 3 years after the Mets gave up on him.
That's another one.
I mean... That's why baseball frustrates
last night.
So that's what's going on in Major League Baseball right now. Nick in Corona, California. What's up, Nick? How you been?
Hey, what's happening, Rich? How you been?
This is it. This is I've got my Gilligan hat ready to go.
I was just going to ask you. You got your Gilligan hat. Who knew we were both going to be 1-3?
I didn't. You certainly didn't, since you chose your team to go 15-2 in the win-loss game prior to the season, Nick. So we know you didn't.
Absolutely.
You know,
I wanted to ask you if you wanted to wager on that game, and I'm not talking about cold hard cash.
Good, because I can't do that. What do you got in mind?
Well, if I win, I looked it up. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on traffic, to come down to Corona. We could go to dinner. You could bring your son. I heard he likes cars. I got a nice car. I know it's not a Lamborghini or Ferrari, but still like it.
Thank you.
I don't want to speak for you, but if I lose, you know, maybe I come down to your studio and bring you guys lunch.
Hmm.
Wow.
It sounds like you're not putting much on the line, Nick. I'll be straight up with you.
It's a win-win for Nick.
It's a win-win for Nick.
Well, what are your
and thoughts? I'd love to meet you, Nick. I would love to meet you. A 2 hour drive to Corona with my son. I don't know.
Like me taking a 4 hour trip school to see night. Taylor Swift.
How about this, Nick? We'll just watch the game and be in contact with each other this way, and you and I will just have to be doing this for pride. How does that sound? That suck?
I'll do it for pride.
All right, brother.
My pride's been kind of diminished since week one, yes.
Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Nick. That's Nick and Corona.
What you just did, though, is you turned down free lunch for all of us. So we can't go to the Bahamas. No Bahamas trip. No lunch.
What are
you doing? Susie coming back?
The good news is this. It's gone from Bahamas to lunch. The next thing's going to be negligible.
Man.
That you lose.
We got to tell Andrew.
Like a slice of pizza. I don't even understand what that means.
Man. We just keep losing.
Man.
We're just taking L's.
Zach Wilson and the Jets playing what they did, like they did against Kansas City after my friend Sean Payton said what he said about their offensive coordinator, who's Aaron Rodgers' BFF. And if they followed Rodgers' cue on a Saturday night surprise appearance at their team meeting about no finger pointing, let's rally around Zach, and Zach will perform. And that's exactly what happened on Sunday Night Football. If they're following Rodgers' cue, they go into Denver and they lay it on thick. Because if Tua did what he did on this defense and Justin Fields, Mr. Roboto, did what he did.
Sam Howell had 299 and two touchdowns.
Okay.
G had two touchdowns.
This is it.
The Denver D's been getting lit up by quarterbacks.
Randy Gregory released. So Sean is taking stock there as who's the guy and who isn't. Randy Gregory just hit the road, Jack. And this is it. In the spot where Breece blew out his knee, Robert Saleh says no more pitch count for Breece Hall. He said that today. Elijah Vera Tucker suffered a season-ending injury. This is where things began to turn to crap last year. Jets look terrific right up to this very point in Denver. So they show back up, feeling good about themselves, putting things together against a defense that has been susceptible for a coach that said what he said about their offensive coordinator, who's Rodgers' BFF and is the guy that is in charge of keeping Zach Wilson on an upward path. Oh, this should be it. To go to 2-3 and a shot to come home against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, to go 3-3 before a bye. Understand that's a stout opponent, but it starts now. Oh, baby. Looking forward to this game in week 5 as well. Bruce Feldman coming up to talk about college football. Hour number two in my power rankings coming up. Oh, yeah, man. Or the Broncos turn around, the Jets go further to crap at 1-4. And then Zach Wilson regresses and everybody's back on the griddle again. The NFL, bro. Turning things around. Wrong, 1 minute, your quarterback is the minivan of draftees. Then he's your future quarterback because of the way that he plays as a rookie. Then he completely degrades, totally falls apart against the Dallas Cowboys. And then the next minute, you pick him up in fantasy, right? Chris, you picked up Mac Jones in fantasy this week.
That is a fact, but my other but my other options.
That's how things can change. Just as for instances.
You know?
Can I at least like present my case?
Please.
Sure, Perry Mason.
It was either Zach Wilson, Desmond Ritter, or Mac Jones. What was I supposed to do?
Who's on your bye?
Justin Herbert.
Oh, okay. And those are the slim pickings, huh?
That was it.
Who was the third one?
Why wouldn't you go Zach off of that performance against a defense that has been totally susceptible? You just don't trust it?
Oh, well, I'm just doing a what's more likely in my head. That the Saints just gave up, to our previous guest, 300 yards and three touchdowns. Or Mac has his worst game of the season 2 weeks in a row. That seems unlikely.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
And Desmond Ritter was just not an
Desmond
option.
Desmond Ritter, not a non-starter.
Did you see Matthew Berry said you should release Kyle Pitts if you have him?
Oh.
Because Jonnu Smith's getting a ton of targets.
Smith is, it's like killing it.
Trim wow. The Dallas.